Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. These are the words of Jesus to each of us. Do we believe them? We're going to talk about it on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show, so stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hey, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, coming to you from southern New Jersey. I've got the window open. It's a beautiful night. And I really want to thank you for stopping by on the show tonight. We're going to talk about the message of our Lord when he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." You know, sometimes in life, we are very burdened and we labor. And we really need that rest, but we don't necessarily feel like it's coming. What does Jesus mean when he said that he will give us rest? Is it the traditional kind of rest? Is it the kind of best rest where he gives us a bed and says, lie down, you're going to feel better? Well, it's not really that kind of rest. We'll talk more about that in the program in the second half of the show. Since it is Thursday, we'll do our What Does God Want Me to Do feature. Today, we'll look at how Mary, our Blessed Mother, can help us to determine what God wants us to do, how she can help us to follow God's will. Very appropriate that we're talking about Mary today, because today, July 16th, is the memorial of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Now, this celebration, this feast, commemorates the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Saint Simon Stock, who was the Superior General of the Carmelite Order in 1251. She promised a special blessing for those who wear her scapular. Now, that's something I would strongly recommend to you. If you don't wear the scapular, I recommend you start, because I've been wearing mine faithfully for several years now. If you were enrolled in the Divines, in the Brown Scapular, there's an enrollment process that you have to go through. You could still wear it, but the benefits are greater if you are enrolled. You can get a priest to do that. Many people were enrolled as part of their first Holy Communion, but it's a great devotion, and I would highly recommend it. It's a way to let Mary protect you so that wherever you go, she's protecting you. And look, we need that. We need that kind of help, because so many times we mess up. We forget to turn to the Lord. We go off in a different direction, and we get distracted by the problems of life. We need somebody with us. We need somebody with us like the Blessed Mother, and she is a great helper. If we grow close to Mary, then we're going to grow closer to the Lord. There's no doubt about it. To Jesus through Mary, it really, really works. So that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. I hope you were able to catch me on Relevant Radio. We had a good show this morning on Morning Air. I was talking about my latest blog post, which is called The Secret to Happiness. You can read about it on followingthetruth.com. And essentially, I went over some steps to accepting the suffering that comes along in our lives. This is tough. It's tough to accept suffering. But one of the things we want to keep in mind when suffering comes our way is that it's God's will. It's God's will for us to go through whatever it is we're going through. Now, you could take that and you could say, well, God's a really mean God. He really wants to torture me. Or you can look at it and say, God really loves me, and I know how much he loves me. Therefore, any suffering that he allows to come my way must be good for me. Now, that's the real way to take it. That's the truth. And I would recommend that you do look at it that way, because it is an absolutely true statement. Any suffering that comes our way somehow will help us. We might not understand why, and I made some other points on the program this morning, including the fact that all suffering is temporary, and I think that makes it a little easier. And I'm certainly not making light of suffering. Suffering can be very painful when we're going through it. None of us like to suffer. But the more we love the Lord, the more we try to get close to him, and this is a process. This is a process that can take years. The easier suffering becomes, because we love him so much that we know that he would never do anything to harm us. And we have that relationship to fall back on. We have that relationship with him so that when we are in the midst of suffering, we run into his arms and let him help us. Suffering can be difficult. But there's a reason that we suffer. We can always unite our suffering with the suffering of the Lord. So as a result, it becomes redemptive. And when we do that, we help him with his redemptive mission. We help him to redeem the world. Did he have to let us do that? No. But he did, because he loves us. So the real secret to getting through anything that you happen to be going through is to cling to Jesus, to get to know him. And I would strongly recommend, if you are not going through a period of very difficult or intense suffering now, make sure you work on that relationship. So whether you are going through difficult times or whether you're not, work on the relationship, because you will need it someday. We all have periods in our lives where we're called to suffer. Some people suffer greatly. Some people suffer minimally. But we all have our moments where we are called to suffer. And it's better to have that relationship with Christ in place so that you are able to turn to him when you're suffering. So if you want to read the full blog, you can read it at followingthetruth.com. Just click on the blog tab and it'll take you right there. You can read The Secret to Happiness. And it really is the secret to happiness. Essentially, the secret to happiness is doing God's will. That's the secret to happiness. But the suffering aspect is the most difficult part of doing God's will. It's not as hard to do the regular duties of your state in life, whatever they may be. That's pretty easy. It's not that hard to try to figure out, well, God's calling me to do something, I'm going to try to do it. That's okay. But when we are asked to suffer, we're asked to do something against our own will, our own desire, because none of us like to suffer. You see that? So it's always something that goes against what we want. It's really tough. And the only way we're going to do that is to train our mind to turn toward the Lord. We've got to talk to ourselves. We've got to have our minds focused on what's important. So that, and we talked about this last night, so that we'll have peace of mind, but not necessarily bodies that are at peace. Our bodies might be going crazy. We might be really struggling. But our minds will know that there's a reason for this. Peace of mind is the highest form of peace. And again, we'll talk about it in the gospel today, because the gospel relates to this message. So that was that. Tomorrow, I get to do my monthly appearance on Iowa Catholic Radio. So if you're in the area, if you're able to listen to that program, we just do about a 5 to 7 minute segment called Walking with the Lord. Just some advice for getting by in life. So if you're able to listen to that, that would be great. And that's tomorrow's Friday, so that's it for the week. But I want to thank you for tuning into this program. It's always great to be able to share with you on this program each night. And I thank you for your financial support. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your words of encouragement. You're the reason I'm here, so I will not forget that. I really won't. That's why I say it so many times. If you would like to invite me to speak at your parish, you can do that by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. And you can look at the talks that I give. You can see some samples, and you can invite me to speak at your parish. The other piece of information that I want to give before we get on with the program is, if you have any questions about anything that we discuss, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll get right on to the show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful for the blessings that you have given to each of us. We thank you for allowing us to be able to speak to you. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of life, for giving us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. Father, we ask you to help us, to help our family members, those around us. We especially ask you to help those who are sick. We ask for your healing for them. We ask you to help those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are battling financial difficulty, those who are battling addiction, those who are being faced with religious persecution or extreme weather conditions. We ask you to help them all. Father, I ask you to use me today on the program. Please use me to proclaim your message. Allow me to step aside so that you can take over the show. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you may have for us. We also hand to you our own personal needs and intentions, those things which may keep us away from you. We give them to you now, and we know that you will handle them better than we can. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know what? I forgot. I want to pray to the Blessed Mother. See, I was ending my prayer. Forgot about that. We can't forget about her on her day. So let's now turn to Our Lady and Blessed Mother. I'm sorry I closed the prayer without turning to you. Today we turn to you, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and we ask for your prayers because we need to get closer to Jesus. We need your help. We're struggling. It's not easy for us, and we want you to help us to grow closer to your Son, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Boy, how's that for a great move? Forgetting the Blessed Mother on her feast day, you know? Oh, man, what a move. By the way, speaking of the Blessed Mother, total consecration to Jesus through Mary, the plan is to start it up in early September. So if you have never done it before, or if you have done it, you want to renew your total consecration, stick around, because God willing, if I can keep the show going, I plan to do it beginning in September. And as we have done in the past, for the past 4 years, we'll go 33 days straight. We'll go right through the weekends, and we'll do a 30-minute show each night. We'll read the prayers. We'll get you through the preparation period. This year, once again, I will use the book by Father Michael Gately, 33 Days to Morning Glory, and we'll get you through it, and we will make our total consecration on October the 7th. So I hope you're interested. If you are, stay tuned. I'll give you more information as we get closer. And you know, the way this summer's flying by, it's not going to be long at all. Everything seems far in the future, but all of a sudden things start happening quickly. It'll be here before you know it, but stay tuned for more information. Okay, so we have the Mass readings from Thursday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time. Let's do them now. First reading continues the saga of Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 20. Some big things are happening today, so pay attention to this. Moses, hearing the voice of the Lord from the burning bush, said to him, "When I go to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' if they ask me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God replied, "I am who am." Then he added, "This is what you shall tell the children of Israel. I am sent me to you." God spoke further to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my title for all generations. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and tell them, "The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me and said, I am concerned about you and about the way you are being treated in Egypt. So I have decided to lead you up out of the misery of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Thus they will heed your message. Then you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent us word. Permit us then to go a 3 days' journey in the desert, that we may offer sacrifice to the Lord our God. Yet I know that the king of Egypt will not allow you to go unless he is forced. I will stretch out my hand, therefore, and smite Egypt by doing all kinds of wondrous deeds there. After that, he will send you away.'" Now, this is an interesting conversation between Moses and the Lord. When Moses is starting to become concerned that he is, you know, he's not the right guy to lead the Israelites out of slavery. And he said to the Lord, "Tell me, what is your name when I go to the people? Who can I tell them sent me?" For you and I, we look back at this and we say, well, of course we know what his name is. But this was a big deal to Moses. They didn't know God as well as we are able to know God. You look at it back, you look at it now, several thousand years later, and it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. You figure, well, he should have known the Lord's name. But he didn't. Nobody did. That's why he asked the question. And I think this is a great example for us. When we ask the Lord something, you know, we're going to do our segment, what does God want me to do? If God wants you to do something, then God's going to tell you what he wants you to do. Makes sense, doesn't it? If God wants you to do something, he'll tell you what it is. Otherwise, how can he expect you to do it? God answered Moses. God will answer you. Unfortunately, it's sometimes tricky to be able to hear how God speaks. He speaks in an unconventional way. And we need to make the time to listen to him. We need to make that effort. If we're not making the effort, then we're not going to hear him speak. So make sure that you turn to the Lord every day and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Then sit down, give him some time, maybe open your Bible, let him speak to you that way. Because that is the surest way to hear God speak. He speaks in other ways too. He speaks in silence. He speaks through other people. He speaks through nature. He can speak in any number of different ways. But God also speaks, or he speaks most directly through the Bible. You know that every word of the Bible is God's inspired word. Therefore, you know that going in. Yeah, and now we can misinterpret it, but we at least know that those are God's words. So when we need to hear him speak, that is the most reliable way. But we want to do it with the church in mind. So we don't want to interpret the Bible in a way that goes against church teaching. I mean, you understand that, right? If we do that, we're going to be in good shape. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 105, is the Lord remembers his covenant forever. Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name. Make known among the nations his deeds. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents and the judgments he has uttered. He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham, and by his oath to Isaac. He greatly increased his people and made them stronger than their foes, whose hearts he changed so that they hated his people and dealt deceitfully with his servants. He sent Moses his servant, Aaron, whom he had chosen. They wrought his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. So here we go. This is the reminder that the Lord remembers his covenant. If the Lord promises something, he is good for his word. That should make you and I very happy. So when the Lord tells us that we can live with him forever in heaven, he's not lying about that. When he said that he'll be with us forever, he's not lying. So we can believe him based on his track record. Now, some of this we'll have to believe with faith. We can look at the past and we could say, well, I know what he said then, but he's going to really be there for me. Some, that's going to require faith. But honestly, one of the ways to get your faith stronger is to look back on what the Lord did throughout history. And he did some pretty amazing things. The gospel, Matthew 11:28-30, one of my favorite passages, one that should bring us all a great deal of comfort. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. This is a bit of a paradox, isn't it? Because Jesus talks about carrying a cross. He makes mention several times of the need for us to carry our cross. How can we have peace and rest while at the same time carrying a cross? That's because the peace of Christ is a supernatural peace. You know how an earthly peace works. The only way we're going to get peace on earth is if we have no problems, or if we can somehow forget about our problems. Then we're going to have peace. But that's not a lasting peace. It's also not a real peace. You and I, though, we're going to be tempted to believe that, well, I want to give that a try because I like that kind of peace. I don't want problems. I don't want problems either. But I know through my relationship with the Lord, through what his church teaches me, I know that a cross is a necessary part of life. And if I want to imitate Jesus, and get to heaven, then I'm going to have to go through the cross. Jesus did it, and so am I. I may not have to be physically crucified, but I'm going to have to experience suffering in my life, and I'm going to have to carry my cross. That's the way to get to heaven. And if I embrace that cross, now this is where it gets paradoxical, where it doesn't really make sense. If I embrace that cross and offer up my suffering and turn to Jesus for help, I'm going to feel peace. I am going to get rest, even in the midst of problems. Now, we look at that and we think that that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense according to the world. But it makes sense according to Christ. That is the way he operates. So today, if you are struggling, ask the Lord for help. Ask him to send you his peace. And then offer up your suffering. Unite it with his suffering. And he will not desert you. This is one of those occasions where he will not desert you. He's right there beside you. He suffered. Now it's your turn to suffer. Again, it's not fun. I know that. But somehow it will be good for you. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I realized I forgot to do my beverage du jour, and we're toward the end of the program now. I'm going to do it right now. Here we go. Sound like Mystic Monk coffee to you? Well, if you said that, you are correct. Mystic Monk Vespers Decaf. And on this day, on this Carmelite feast day, it would be a perfect day to purchase yourself some Mystic Monk coffee brewed by real Carmelite monks in Cody, Wyoming. You can find out more by visiting followingthetruth.com and clicking on the Mystic Monk image. That's followingthetruth.com. Just click on the Mystic Monk image, and you can order yourself some of the best coffee that you have ever tasted. Mystic Monk coffee. You know I'm a big fan, and I think you will be too once you give it a try. What does God want me to do? Let's shift gears and talk a little bit about discernment. I've been going through my book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will, talking about discernment. And today, we're going to talk about how our Blessed Mother can help us. Now, we get frustrated with uncertainty, don't we? We get frustrated when we have some uncertainty going on in our lives, and we don't know what God wants us to do. It's not an easy position to be going through. The Blessed Mother dealt with a great deal of uncertainty in her life as well. She was first asked to become the mother of the Savior after having made this vow of perpetual virginity. She thought that she would remain a virgin. And when the angel came and told her that she was to bear a child and that that child would be the Savior, she said, obviously, how can this be? But here's the thing. This is where we can learn from our Blessed Mother. The angel said that it would come about by the Holy Spirit. And once she got that answer, she was fine with it. Because she knew that with God, it was possible to actually have a virgin birth. She was so in tune with the Lord that when that angel told her that, she said, fine, that's all I need to know. Now, was she given the details? She wasn't given a lot of the details. She was just told how it would happen. She asked a question, how can this be? She was told, it'll come about through the Holy Spirit. And that was good enough for her. She was able to say yes. And I would ask you tonight, are you able to say yes even when all of the details aren't clear? If you feel God's calling you to do something, are you willing to take a chance and say yes, even if you might not have all the details? This is where Mary can help you. So what you can do is turn to her, if you're struggling doing this, and ask for her assistance. And say, Blessed Mother, I'm struggling. I feel the Lord's asking me to do something, but I don't know the details. Can you help me to say yes? Because I'm really scared. And this is what Mary wants to do. She wants to help you with situations like this. Now, as we continue to look at the life of Mary, we see many things that really weren't clear to her. And what did she do? We're told on a few occasions in the Bible that Mary pondered or kept things in her heart. When God speaks to you, when things happen in your life, when he speaks maybe through the circumstances of your life, when things happen that just don't make sense, do you try to figure them out? Do you try to determine what God may be trying to teach you? Do you try to figure out what you should be doing next? If you're doing that, if you're trying to figure it out like that, you are imitating the Blessed Mother, which is a great thing to do. You're imitating Mary as you try to determine what God wants you to do in any given situation, especially the tough situations. And there are many of those that we will encounter. When we look at Mary and Joseph losing Jesus, when they left Jerusalem when he was 12 years old, when they traveled back home, they were headed home, they realized he wasn't with them. So what did they do? They went to seek Jesus, and then they found him in the temple, that famous scene known as the finding in the temple. They found him. How about you and I? Are we looking for Jesus every day? Are we trying to find him? Quite often we aren't. Quite often we are doing our own thing, and we don't worry about finding Jesus. But they were determined to find him. They were determined to find him. And then finally, if we look at Mary standing at the foot of the cross, can you imagine how difficult that must have been for her to watch her son being murdered, her innocent son? She understood that he was sinless. She understood that he was the Messiah. She understood that he loved the people who were putting him to death. And she watched him be crucified. With the exception of John, the other apostles were not there. The closest friends of Jesus deserted him. So that didn't make her feel good. This was really difficult. But she knew that she had to be there. She was there for a reason. And that's when Jesus gave her to the apostle John and said, "Behold your mother." And then he turned to Mary and said, "Behold your son." And it's at that point the church recognizes that Mary was also given to us as our spiritual mother. So we have her as our spiritual mother. Are you turning to her? Are you asking for help? We all struggle. We struggle to trust. We struggle to avoid temptation. We struggle to see Jesus in people. So many things are difficult for us. But are we turning to Mary for help? Are we turning to her when we have problems? If not, we really should be, because we're not taking advantage of the great gift given to us by the Lord on Calvary. He gave us this gift of his mother. Are we just trying to do it on our own? And if we try to do it on our own, if you're like me, you probably fail more often than you succeed. And you get frustrated, don't you? You get frustrated that you're failing. But if we turn to Mary, if we ask for her help, then she is able to help us. She's able to point us in the right direction. She's able to supplement the little that we do, the inferior work that we do sometimes. She can supplement it. And that's really the purpose of total consecration. If you've never done it, I really recommend you do it. It will make major changes in your life, and you'll be able to do things that you never thought possible. I'm not kidding about that. It might not be apparent at first, but once you give it a little time, you're going to see great changes in your life, because Mary is working and she's doing a great job. So please keep that in mind. Now, tomorrow in the program, we're going to look at the power of kindness and the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass. So I hope you can tune in. God willing, I plan to be here. I'll save a place at the table for you. The only deal is you have to bring your own beverage, your own snack, whatever you want to bring with you. That's fine. I don't provide it, though. Okay? Sound good? Have a wonderful night. Let's keep one another in prayer, okay? God bless you. Talk to you soon.